Welcome back to another episode of Acquisition Theory. I'm your host, Dalton Perkinson, and in today's episode, we are going to explore situational cards and how they can engage interpersonal communication in your classroom every day. I'll link you with some resources and how to create your own, and we'll follow it up with some testimonies from teachers who have been using them every day in their classroom. I'd like to start off by apologizing for my voice. The weather's changing here in North Carolina, and as a result, I have a bit of congestion. It hasn't slowed me down, but I am recording this episode from my car, and it's totally safe. Just two hands on the wheel. This is just Bluetooth through my car speakers. I've found a neat trick that makes this happen, and so I'm hoping I can podcast more regularly because of this new revelation. So I'm sounding a bit under the weather, but all's well. So for this episode, I will break down exactly what a situational card is, and because it's such a visual element of my classroom, I will share some resources so you can see what they look like, and you'll have a template as well in Google Slides that you can edit to create your own. I run a curriculum site, and I have native speakers record their voices for me based on skits that I write for them, and this always seems to be the most challenging thing to source as a teacher: audio files. And so I wanted to provide a good quality audio recording archive that people could use in their classroom. But what I didn't expect is that those were not my number one seller on my curriculum site. In fact, it's the situational cards that is the topic of this episode. And so I have done one webinar on them and one presentation, and people are wanting more resources, and I have a lot of people that weren't able to attend that webinar or that presentation. So I'm gonna publish a short podcast to give a good overview, something you can listen to in your car, as to what they are. For background information, my struggle always was replicating the use of the target language in an authentic way. I would be studying a foreign language, and I would travel to a country where that language was spoken, and I would try out for the first time my language in the real world. And what's great about practicing language with native speakers is that they will give you the most accurate feedback possible for whether or not you're using the language accurately. And the example that I used in a webinar recently was, if I go into a store and I ask for what I think is a squash in my target language, but then I'm taken to some zucchinis, then I have a bit of feedback that maybe the word that I thought was squash isn't exactly right. I've gotten more or less in the same category, but maybe through my pronunciation or just the selection of word in general, something's a bit off. And so that's how we learn language naturally in the real world, and I wanted to replicate that in my classroom. The issue is, however, that we only have a single setting in our classrooms, and we can be as creative as we'd like. We can engage props and scenario, but at the end of the day, we're stuck in a classroom. And you can navigate through the campus, and you can see, you can have classroom in a new, unique setting, but at the end of the day, all our activities are happening at school. And it's hard for me to monitor activities outside of school. We could tell students to go and interact in the real world, but it's just not practical to expect your students to find native speakers, especially if the target language that you're teaching, well, there's not an abundant population of those speakers in your area. So with all that being said, now I'll explain to you What is a situational card? At least the way that I've been using it, and the way I know that situational cards are a thing and that means something for a lot of people, and it just provides a situation through which they'll do a task. But my situations are, the task is answering an essential question. And so the three steps, or the three essential elements of a situational card, is first and foremost the essential question. What question are you going to ask a student that you need them to be able to respond to? The second step is you need to give them a piece of language that will not change regardless of their response, that will begin their response. This is the functional language chunk that maybe they already know, but they haven't used in the context of that certain question. Words like "I have," or "we watched," things that regardless of the situation, the first part of that language will be the same. So these situational cards were born out of trying to replicate that situation of the squash and the zucchini. And what's important to note is that we have some visual representation in the real world. You're experiencing that with those objects in the real world, and so there needs to be a visual element to that. But also, we need to mimic what a native speaker would do for a struggling speaker of that language, and offer options. Do you mean gourd, pumpkin? Do you mean squash? And so we want to give students a list of options that they can pull from. And the last thing is we need to prompt them with functional language that can be reused over and over and over again, so that they can practice the high frequency vocabulary or the high frequency language structures that will ultimately push them more towards proficiency. And then the last part that's essential is giving your students a pool of options from which they can pick an answer. And maybe it's not the exact answer they want, but it's important that they have 6 to 8 or maybe even more options from which they can pick, so that they can successfully answer that essential question. So if the question is, what's your favorite color? That's criterion one, to have essential question. Then your functional language chunk that you would provide in the target language at the top of your slide would be, my favorite color is ... And if you give them that chunk of language, then they'll, every time they use that situational card, they'll say that exact expression over and over and over again. And at the end of the day, that's truly what we're practicing. That my favorite blank is. And then they'll start to expand on color, and they can switch in food or movie. And so that's the target, the focus there, that functional language chunk. The last step are the options, where you put a physical, or rather visual representation of the options, blue, green, yellow, purple, on the slide with the written words in the target language that they can pick from. So they can easily say the functional language chunk, and below that, 5 or 6 pictures with pictures of the classes that are common. Maybe a picture of some chemistry lab in progress, a picture of a conductor leading an orchestra. Maybe it's some artwork. And below those images, you have the words for art and music and auto mechanics, whichever classes are relevant to your students are the ones that you should put there. And if you hear a student say something in one of your classes that's not on your cards, and there's one example from the pool that no one has ever said, I highly recommend switching that picture out for including drafting, so that one student has some ownership of those situational cards. So the end result will go something like this. I choose a student, and I flip to a slide which has an essential question, nice and big in the middle of the slide, that says, what is your favorite class, maybe? And then they sit there and they kind of try to think about what, how they would respond to that. And then maybe they don't know how to, but they know the question and they've recognized it. I flip to the second slide, and at the top of the slide it says, "My favorite class is dot dot dot." And so they can read off of that, and you start to see this look in their face, like, "Oh yeah, that seems so simple. I knew how to do that." And really, they may have, but they haven't practiced that situation enough for it to be part of their muscle memory, their brain memory. And so providing that little push is what gets them from recognizing language to producing language when given that essential question, when given that situation. Situational cards have removed a lot of stress from my classroom, for my students, and for me. A very important thing about my cards is I don't grade my students on the use of them at all. They have products towards the end, after they've practiced them, that I grade based on a rubric. They do speak as a product, as a summative assessment. But the use of cards every day in the beginning or end or both of class is, there's no pressure involved. It's just practicing the language for personal gain, and I offer up people some maybe snacks, like a Jolly Rancher or something incredibly nominal and cheap, just to get students engaged. And so I recommend not associating, you could use pesos maybe if you'd like, but I recommend not associating grades with these tasks, because they're nerve-wracking, and if you want students to speak more frequently, then don't make them think that they're getting a grade on it. Make them take ownership of learning the language, learning the spoken form, and they'll participate far more frequently. And so I will provide some, I have the domain acquisitiontheory.com purchased, and I'm in the process of sprucing the site up. But if you go to acquisitiontheory.com and you'll find like a list of the episodes, and if you find the situational cards episode, it might be like episode 5 or 6, I'm not really sure which one this will be, you'll find a link that will show you some Spanish language examples of these situational cards. And there's also going to be a template and a link to the webinar that I presented at FLANC this past fall that will show you a more in-depth process of how to edit and how to create them very quickly. It's over an hour webinar, but it does have a lot of tricks that you can benefit from knowing if you're going to create situational cards as regularly as I do. So the last thing I want to leave you with in terms of situational cards is I often scaffold entire conversations through this model. And that means I have 10 questions usually in a pack that flow into one another. And I just created one actually on travel, on trips. And so the first question would be, where did you go on your last trip? And the functional language chunk would be, I went to, followed by some options. And so in Spanish, yo fui a, and then we have the beach, to visit family, to the mountains, and there's pictures of the mountains and the beach and a family. And so they have some options. But then the second question is maybe, who'd you go with? Who did you go with? And some options are friends, or family, or my sports team. What did you guys eat on the way? Fast food, a restaurant, some snacks. Every question leads into one another. And so I have 10 questions that run all together. And before going through a situational card, none of my students, with maybe one or two students as an exception, none of them could have an entire conversation about past trips that they've had. But with the situational cards, any one of my students can sit down with me and I can flip through and give them those chunks, and they can have a conversation and they with me in the target language without any problems. And yes, I do understand that they're reading, but after a few passes through this practice, they look less and less at the functional language chunk that they need. They look less at the options, and they just know. This is the single most helpful thing for my students to improve speaking that I've ever done. And I have 3 or 4 high-frequency conversation topics. I've got your time at school, what you do with your friends, who cooks at your house and what you think about the food and what the ingredients are. And then now I've just created another one for travel. And every time, the first time I ask a student to come to the front of the classroom and sit in the hot seat, no one has not made it to the end. Every time I start a conversation with someone, they always make it to the end. And I just think it's that they have learned these question words. They've learned the words, the functional language words, but they've never used it in a conversation in that context. And the visual representation and I help them along kind of with hand gestures, but it allows them to have an entire conversation. And it's such an empowering moment for a student who has struggled time and time again to speak in interpersonal fashion, all of a sudden be able to have an entire conversation with me in Spanish. Okay, it's time for a reoccurring segment called I Was Today Years Old, and where I share some tricks that I just discovered that have saved me a lot of time or that I'm just really excited to use and share. So the first one, I was today years old when I discovered how to save tons of time by automatically inserting pre-drafted emails using a Chrome extension. The Chrome extension is called Insert Text, and I've created a whole bunch of emails I've drafted to where all I have to do is right-click into my email's text field and insert whatever email will respond to my students or colleagues, and I have saved so much time just in this past week since discovering this plugin. I created a folder of responses called Grades for my students. Some of them will say, I received your late work, it's graded, please confirm in the grade book that everything is as it should be. And then I'll say, you don't need to respond to this unless there's still an error. I also have some for colleagues where like, I'm kind of swamped with work, I'll try to respond within 2 days. If you don't hear anything from me, message me by Friday. And so these common emails that I can just right click, insert, and I'm done. So again, that was Insert Text, and you can find it in the Chrome Web Store as an extension. The next one, I was today years old when I found out the real reason you would want to duplicate an object in Google Apps. If you know me, you know I love my keyboard shortcuts, and I've been using Control-C to copy and Control-V to paste for years, but I never understood the reason why you would want to duplicate with Control-D, and I found a reason why. Sometimes you have things on your clipboard that you don't want to get rid of, but you need to duplicate a text box so you can paste your clipboard into it. And if you copy and paste with Control-C, Control-V your text box, then you lose whatever you had in your clipboard. And it has saved me a few times this week, duplicating an object and then pasting my clipboard that I didn't want to lose. And so it's just a small little thing, but I've used it like 2 or 3 times here recently making situational cards where it saved me a lot of time. And my last one, I was today years old. Well, let me just stop there. No, I actually have been using this for years and I just wanted to share it in this segment. Sometimes you'll put an image on your slides that has a background color. Maybe it's a stock image. Maybe you used unsplash.com. I highly recommend them for free stock quality photography that you can use in your presentations. But let's say you has a background. It's a teal. It looks really nice, and you want to use that same exact color in your presentation for the text or for the background color of your slides. If you search HTML, hex color by image, something to that effect, there's a lot of tools online which will allow you to paste in the URL or upload an image, and you can use a crosshair to select a color. It will generate a hex color and a sequence of numbers and letters that are the HTML code color that you selected. If you copy that hex code, which is just a code that says this color, it's the same color as whatever you selected, in any Google Apps, you can do, if you choose a shape or choose the background, you choose solid color, or you select any color. There's an option within the color palette in all the Google Apps education, the suite, everything, that says custom at the bottom. Choose custom, and at the top there'll be a small text field that says, that has a hashtag, and the little numerical hash symbol, and some letters. Paste in your new hash color, your new hash code, and it will put the exact same color that you selected from the picture. I've done this so many times. I probably do this 2 or 3 times a week. And if I have an image of a dog that I want to put on the slide, and I want the dog to be a certain size, but the background is like this green color, and I like the color, instead of having a green image that's on the, like, in the middle of a white slide, I'll change the background to the same exact green color, so it's filling the entire space. So really good option, really cool tool. Check out HTML color by image, color code by image. It's really, really bumps up the professionalism of your presentations. And that's it for this episode. It's a short one, but check out acquisitiontheory.com and you'll find a template for those situational cards. And I hope to put more content up there from previous episodes as well as future episodes, so that you can access some of the resources that we mentioned. But I hope you found something useful. Please share the podcast with your colleagues and friends, and we'll chat with you in the next one.